daven, I feel I'm standing behind all of you in the queue, begging for entrance. We just came from a very eventful stay in the Himalayan mountains with retreats and kirtan melas and meeting our very respected and affectionately related to us, Raghunath Prabhu and his group. But we just arrived and had only little sleep because we had to get up so inhumanly early to make it in time. But I will definitely welcome you for this program, and I believe, not because of me, but because of the composition of everything, we will leave this gate as changed people. We will have a little lecture now, then I will request one Brijbasi to briefly highlight what we can learn during our stay in Vrindavan. Then we will do puja, where everyone will be able to light a light and offer a light. And at the end, special surprise. If by then nothing has worked, the end will work. We have invited someone very special to do something very special this evening. Good, but before, I've heard that there are more devotees traveling, so I would request, especially those who are here in front, Gokrishna, you can even place the mridanga, not the mridanga, the harmonium on the ground, and we will get really another space. And Diksha, you are there, and you will help devotees who come late to find their place, right? Good. When you are tired, notes are your saving grace. So, please join me. Namo. Everyone, Namo. Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asvajyare Svatayine Tapta Kanchana Gora Vrishabham Sute Devi Pranayi Hari Priye He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Gopesha Gopika Rani next to this building is a local saint, our Madan Gopal Mahanidhi Maharaj, and he has written long ago something about what to expect in Vrindavan. There are many subjects which are covered in his wonderful book, Appreciating Sri Vrindavan Dham. He speaks in the beginning of what our naked, unaided eye and all the other senses might experience. He says, the ordinary man visiting Vrindavan cannot see beyond the skinny dogs, the open sewers, the mischievous monkey, the underfed cows and the overfed pigs, or loudspeakers blaring from 10 directions. We see a dusty land. To our senses, it doesn't appear always like a celestial paradise where there are wish-fulfilling trees and desire-fulfilling gemstones on the ground. Once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, and here comes the first secret, how can we understand that Vrindavan is Krishna's abode? There seems to be so much contamination in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada's answer, very much to the point, without losing a minute, this is because your senses are impure, said Srila Prabhupada. But when your eyes are smeared with the self of love of God, then you can see Vrindavan. Don't judge Vrindavan by the external manifestation. So the devotees continue, but why does it appear so unkempt? When I came here, I saw how there were people throwing their plates just at an empty slot of land that was previously so nicely cleansed. And these people will tell to you, this is the kingdom of God. And if you ask them, why, how can you explain this, what we poor Westerners will never understand? They will say, inside I keep everything clean. Outside, it's God's creation. He will take care. So, why does Vrindavan appear like this? And Prabhupada said, the ugliness here is Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is also known as a curtain that, with her external aspect, Mahamaya, keeps our material senses and mind rooted in this world so that we can't really see the abode of Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky. Krishna or Vrindavan, you could say, are hiding themselves. And I think here comes a very important lesson for us sadhakas. Take your Vrindavan as a journey to uncover the hidden mystery of internally perceived spiritual truth. There are three ways in which you can stay in Vrindavan. One is, yes, you do everything that is prescribed, go to the temples, come to katas like this one, sing, perhaps take a bath, where you need to overcome your cultural sensitivities, and do everything and stay the same. That's the first level, where you stay in your consciousness of Maham, Aham Mameti. The second level means you do all that, visit holy places, come to katas, to kirtans, but you add to the practice a simple reflective exercise. What is the point of doing this? And you will soon find out this is about establishing a broken relationship. And you can enter the third level where you do all that, visit everything, reflect on the deeper treasures that are available, and then enter into what Mahaprabhu describes and Bhaktivinoda describes and our Goswamis who follow who represent our line. You can enter the road of tears. You can, in other words, engage in longing, praying for the not yet discovered spiritual sweetness, and for your, perhaps your even not yet discovered spiritual constitutional position to come about. I would like to share with you what I have, in my own clumsy way, not even speaking proper English, tried to write about the road of tears. It's a dialogue between a disappointed disciple who has not yet touched the spiritual reality and is somewhat still covered, and his guru who tries to help him to remove the curtain and come to the other side. The disappointed disciple, we can't hear you, Gokrishna. Oh, it has gone away. Sits before his guru, and with a heavy heart, he tells him the frustrations of his unaccomplished discipleship. Who can say I've never tried? All those mantras I've chanted, all those vows that kept me awake for so many lonely nights, all those pilgrimages, sacrifices, holy baths in ice-cold water. What to speak of persistently ignoring the requests of my mind and senses to do what is most dear to them. The result? Nothing. All this has brought me to at present All this has brought me to at present is desperation. The old emptiness in the heart has only become greater. Listen to the Guru's answer and note his empathy. It seems you have done your very best to come before the divine couple, but have you ever tried to act in such a way that they can come before you? Have you yet built your road for them, the road of tears? The disciple, the road of tears? What tears? Guru, the tears of the soul. Oh my child, there are different kinds of tears. Body tears, we cry when in physical pain. mind tears. We cry when emotionally hurt, and sweet tears that come from the soul as it awakens to its only real need. The soul's need is to enter into the one relationship. And this road of tears can't be found on any map, I would like to add, not even Google Maps. It begins, this road, from your own heart. But it is so attractive to the divine couple that they cannot even imagine ignoring it. Just to begin building this road, or better, just when you begin building this road, it makes them feel they must come before you. The disciple, you speak of a road. Does this road need many tears? I have cried all my tears for other things. You know, the Bhagavatam says there is an ocean of tears which is cried by the conditioned souls who are miserable. I've cried all my tears for other things. I'm completely empty inside. How can I possibly build your road? The guru enthusiastically, it's not my road. You have to build your own road. But don't worry. There are oceans of tears arrested in your heart. You only need to learn to direct them to the right cause. Then they become released. But before a downpour, there is a flash of lightning. Similarly, there has to be some type of kripa or mercy come from above. Pray for the mercy of the golden Radha and the cloud blue Krishna to appear in your heart. Then the water gushes forth, your arrested tears, sweet tears of longing for the Lord whom you once gave up. Three levels, my dear devotees. You do everything which is prescribed in the pilgrim books and stay the same. Second level, you do all this, but you are entering what is called mananaha, that is reflecting, and it goes even deeper in niditya-sa. What does this have to do? I mean, Radha and Krishna, the one relationship. I sometimes say I believe I'm a part of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes I say it. Have I actually, is there anything which I've experienced? And then when you see on your own strengths, or as they say in America, on your own steam, you can't move forward. You have to pray. You have to add a substance to it. You have to perhaps do what you're most afraid, to go into the depths where everything distracting disappears and you find there's nothing there. I have only distractions in my life. I must now think about this relationship. There is a very good example in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. of someone who went that road. I'm trying to say Agra Kadabra, please shine, but these things, can you please activate it? It's Akrura. Akrura, I can do. Akrura had stayed in absolute compromised situation. He was a great devotee of Krishna. Now, while all devotees had fled into the mountains and caves to avoid the rule of Kamsa and to not be tracked down by his spies, Akrura had chosen another way, disguise. He had apparently, he was a prime minister, a minister in Kamsa's government, and he pretended to be a loyal servant of Kamsa, but in his heart he was the most loyal servant of Lord Krishna, and he was only there because he had faith Krishna will one day come to Mathura and he will come and bring an end to Kamsa's demoniac rule. He had this faith. Krishna will come. It's foretold in the scriptures. And I want to be there. I want to see my Lord removing this thorn from the flesh of society. I want him to enact his pastimes of paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha. Correct. I want to see that. I want the Lord to see how he ties his girdle. I want to see how he moves the lock of hair from his face so that his lotus eyes are fully exposed. And I want him to perform his dance in the arena of Kamsa's end. Oh, Akrura felt like this, and therefore he stayed to have a first row seat to see the Krishna performing this avataric mission. Krishna is avatari, the source, but he... Anyways, it's a complicated story, Vasudev Krishna and all of that, but let's not get into it. So the day came where a totally anxious Kamsa called Akrura to come and said, Akrura, you are my only friend which is left. I am getting news from Krishna who kills all those who are dear to me. And who have promised to get rid of him. I think it's because of the land of Vrindavan where he gets so much strength. Let him come here, and then he doesn't have this home advantage any longer. I will arrange that he will be killed. Saying this, Kamsa grabbed the hands and with tears in his eyes, he begged Akrura, you are very intelligent, bring Akrura, bring Krishna here for his annihilation. So everything in Akrura was almost, he was so repelled by this. I can imagine he was close to vomiting when he heard this, right into the face of the demon. But he kept his smile and he said, my dear king, don't worry, I will bring your arch enemy. And inside his heart was singing, oh Krishna, I will see you, I will see you, I will have your darshan, I will see you. But he had to retain his tears. Next morning, there was a golden chariot made ready for him, and he went to in the early hours in at Tor Vrindavan. I heard it was at a Ekadasi day, and as he was making his journey to Vrindavan, he had very understandable thoughts, perhaps relatable thoughts for you. He thought, but I am really not qualified. I have served this demon. What will happen when I come before my Lord? Will he ask me, you're on the wrong side, go? Another point, it's so rare for a living entity who is swept away by the powerful current of material existence to come to the safe beach of my Lord's lotus feet. How can I assume this fortune will be given to me? And he had so many self-doubts, but at the end he said, enough is the self-doubt. Krishna's mercy is greater than my disqualification. It's stronger than all the bad things I have done. Plus, Krishna will know my heart. He knows what is deep inside of my heart, although I may superficially sometimes do other things. No? He knows. And then it's described, I will make sure. Shukadev Goswami continued.
Shri Shuka Uvachaiti Sanchintayam Krishnam Svapalkatana Yodvani Ratena Gokulam Papta Suyaschasti Girim Nipa.
My dear king, he speaks to Parikshit, while the son of Svapalka, Akura, was traveling on this road, he meditated deeply on Sri Krishna. And as he reached Gokul, the sun was beginning to set in the western horizon. Arriving in those cowherd pastures of Vrindavan, Akrura suddenly saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all planets respectfully hold on their crowns. The biggest personalities, even Brahma and Shiva, are hankering to put the dust which has trickled or fallen from the Lord's lotus feet on their crowns, out of deep respect. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as, you know, I'm hearing, I have not acoustically heard it. The maize is there on Krishna, barley corn,
elephant goat.
Elephant goat is there.
Chakra
is there.
Fish
is there. Fish means just like the fish is always fickle and it swims, but comes to peace when in a very nice enclosure within the water. In the same way, the fickle mind of the devotee who is restless comes to peace when he meditates on those lotus feet. And as he saw this, something changed in Akrura. He became increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints. His bodily hairs did not stand in a nice hairdress. They erupted because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears. Akrura, the noble-minded, jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, kindly repeat, ah!
Ah!
This is the dust from my master's feet.
This is the dust from my master's feet.
Yeah, they flooded with tear drops So the ground must have become very wet, dust and imbued with wetness becomes black, and Akrura's perfumed body and well-plated dhoti and all this became just smeared with the dust of his master's lotus feet. And Shukadev now stops for a moment. The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy which Akrura experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. I request our Raghunath Prabhu to come forward and share something with us about putting aside these things, pride and the restless mind. Please come that we can see you as the nice, intimate blanket of the Siam-colored night spreads over us. Just please sit to my left here.
I can sit here.
No, we need you for the microphone.
I can take the mic down here.
No, you're my friend. You must sit here.
How can I serve you? Hare Krishna. Honored to be with Maharaj, and I'm so grateful to him in my life. Since I first met him at Radhakund in 1988.
Yeah. When the world was young.
I had a good fortune a few days ago, it seems like a year ago. Maharaj gave a class on the banks of the Ganga, and he asked me to speak about something. I take groups of yoga students. Some are actually very into bhakti, and some are just into up dog. So it's the first few pilgrimages became very confusing, because some people really wanted to, I want to do Dandavat Parikram, or I want to bathe in Radhakund, and some people said, how does this even relate? And of course, in the United States, it's a very entitled culture. We expect everything to be just perfect. We get things when we want it. We have 24-hour food deliveries, movies on demand. So how do you herd a bunch of cats together on a pilgrimage and try to make them have their consciousness fixed? So we needed something to keep everybody on track. So we came up with I studied the Shikshastakam deeply, and I got some inspiration. And I tried to put the essence of it in a very understandable way. And I call it the six pillars of bhakti. And it's something that I send out to all the students that they have to opt in for before they come on the trip. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. The first one, repeat after me, is, I will not criticize.
I will not criticize.
On a trip, when you have so many people together, see, a lot of times I have my own critical nature that I bring into a sacred place. That's a problem. I grew up very critical myself. My whole family was. It was sarcastic. It was rude. It was snarky. It was funny. And I got to a point where I started to hate myself because I was very expert at making so many people laugh at one person's expense. So it was criticism, finding fault, making fun, being sarcastic. And I didn't like the person I became. But also I find that it becomes a great smokescreen for my own shortcomings if I can find fault with everybody else. So just to have peace in the room, we eliminate that. Matter of fact, all these pillars of bhakti are just for peace. And then what to speak of being a trampoline to sky up to our spiritual life. It makes the chanting more successful. It makes the chanting more potent. So the first one is I will not criticize. And that has to be, you have to not do that. The second one is I am tolerant. Repeat after me, I am tolerant.
I am tolerant.
This is very useful when you have a roommate that you don't know and might not like. It's a situational thing when you're in a bus or you're in traffic and there's a reverse, what do they call it? When you put the car in reverse and it goes, wah, 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 very loud, why? And so India's got these noises I've never heard before. I was hoping for parrots and I get these sounds and explosions. I don't even know what these explosions are and I just have to tolerate all this stuff. So situational tolerance. And that can translate very easily, Will, to I will not complain any longer. And it's a beautiful test to see, can I go one day without complaining? And guarantee it changes your life. If you can actually get in the habit of I'm not going to complain and I'm not going to criticize, those two things alone can change your whole day and can change your whole life. And they work very good with chanting the holy name. Third one is, repeat after me, I take no offense.
I take no offense.
I take no offense. This one is the most powerful, I think. Because the tendency, the material human tendency, is to keep a record of others' wrongs. Keep file cabinets filled with how I've been hurt, how I've been traumatized, how this wasn't fair. Matter of fact, that is the mantra of the materialist. It's not fair. Why me? If you find yourself saying that, you should feel like I'm in total Maya right now. Sometimes people do offend me, or I might think they offend. Oftentimes, I just project that what are they doing? Why are they not listening to me? Don't they understand Maharaj asked me to speak? Why aren't they not listening? So I fabricate an offense and I carry that with me. And that's important because I create my own reality by guessing what people are thinking in their mind. So I take no offense. But that also, there's sometimes where people are actually offensive. They've said horrible things, or they've hurt me, or they've punched me, or they've stolen from me, or they've broken my heart. And that's a harder one to practice. I still take no offense. Why? Because once I get offended, I forget that God has a hand in everything that happens to me. And even that the material world isn't happening to me, it's happening for me. The pain I get in life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. Everything that I get is meant for my evolution and my growth. And if I forget that, it's the mind of an atheist. The fourth one, repeat after me, I'm quick to apologize.
I'm quick to apologize.
Generally, I would like people to apologize to me because they've hurt me and they've wronged me and they've betrayed me. But I'm very obtuse, myopic, and short-sighted when I hurt other people. So this one is especially good for me because I tend to be very obtuse, short-sighted, and myopic. And it makes me have to think carefully if I hurt somebody. And then I have to immediately apologize. The fifth one is I see the good in others and I let them know it. My mind generally goes to I see his problems, I see her problems. He's definitely got problems. And that's where my mind tends to go. I size up the world. But in fact, this is the opposite. And it's in two phases. The first one is, I see the good in others, in people that I like. I got a feeling, if I knew all of you here, I'd probably like you. If we were in high school together, you'd be my friends. And even people that are very kind to us and they would love us, maybe our partner or our spouse, you know, probably every one of you has a friend or family member or a parent that if you said, I'm at Radhakund, I know you're in Germany or in New York, I want to go home. Can you come here? Or I'm very sick. Can you come here? They would get on a plane and come here. We probably got one person in our life that would do that. Very often, even though they do so much for us, we don't share with them how much we appreciate them. And so we see the good in others and we let them know it. On a regular basis, we appreciate people. So that's the easy thing to do. There's people in our life that we can appreciate and we should let them know. We should send them a text message at least if you're not going to call them or be with them. We appreciate what my parents have given me. I appreciate what my brothers have given me. I appreciate what Guru Maharaj has given me. But then there's a PhD when it comes to PhD in when it comes to seeing the good in others and letting them know it. And that's with people that are very difficult to love. Have you ever met a person that's very difficult to love? They make it very difficult with their behavior and their actions. And if I can somehow be, and this is what we're asked to do as far as I understand being a Vaishnava, tolerant, compassionate, and loving. Tolerant, repeat after me, tolerant, compassionate, and loving. That means when I see someone going through all their nonsense, I'm tolerant, compassionate, and loving. I see through all their nonsense and see something that's in them that maybe they can't even see themselves. You know how I know this one is so important? Because Maharaj has done it with me. He first met me when I was stage diving. And I said, "Hey, Maharaj!" And he came to a performance I did when I was in a punk rock band. And you know what he did while I was sweating and patting him on the back with my sweaty hand and hugging him with my disgusting moochy body? Do you know what he was doing? Tolerant, compassionate, and loving. And when you meet a person like this, when you meet Sri Guru, they do that. They're tolerant, compassionate, and loving, overlooking all of your shortcomings. And what they do is they extract something from you that's there, but you can't even see yourself. And that's the beautiful thing about being a great teacher, a great parent, a great friend, a great lover, is you see something that they can't see. And let them know it. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And the last one is very good in this world where everyone's trying to push some type of medication on you. This is a good one. If you have a mind that tends to go a little south, gets a little depressed sometimes. I'm not saying there's not a use for medication. Sometimes it's very necessary. But oftentimes, our focus directs our mind. So the last one is, repeat after me. I'm grateful. And I keep a tally of my blessings. A tally is like a list of how I'm blessed. It's very easy with my material mind to figure out why I'm not rich enough, why I'm not in better shape, why is my, I'm losing my hair, why do I have hair now in my ears and not on my head, right? Why don't people like me more? Why didn't I get that position? Why did they ask him to lead the kirtan, not me to lead the kirtan? Or why didn't I get this position in the workplace? It's very easy to keep a list of why things are going wrong. And I might, and you get good at it by practicing it. And this is why it's not working out today. So to flip that, I keep a list of what is going right. And you know what? there's a lot of things going right in your life and in my life. I've just been looking at everything that's wrong. So these six pillars of bhakti, as told, extracted from Lord Chaitanya's teaching, simply, not mine, I'm not so smart, but it's extracted from Lord Chaitanya. If you do this in a community, they work so well. Because I'm criticizing, but I know the rules. And I start to criticize with Banu. Oh, did you see what he did? Banu knows the rules. She'll be like, eh. There's accountability now. Once we all know the rules, there's accountability. So it's nice to have a community where there are some rules. And therefore, when the car, like it's, I call it when the car is driving, it keeps it on the road. It's some guardrails for the car. Right? And it makes the journey of, you know, 40 people from Long Island and, you know, New York City, it makes that journey very peaceful. But in the bigger picture, it's a springboard to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oops. Hare Krishna. So I have to place this somewhere.
So let me give you a summary where we are now and then engage you, if it works out, in a little meditation on Radha and Krishna Leela. We heard that there is a veil covering Vrindavan Dham, and we heard that in Vrindavan there are various levels of our stay, and the last was longing, praying, the road of tears. And we saw an example of this in Akrura, who was able to meditate on his journey to Vrindavan Dham about Krishna and his relationship to Krishna, and who at the end, when he saw a little udipan, a little stimulant, nothing little, it's a big stimulant actually, the footprints of the Lord and the dust, everything became released in him. He became a bhavuka, a devotee, full of bhava, and then he was able to see Vrindavan Dham. It is said, as he continued to drive as the sun was setting, this beautiful panorama of Vrindavan opened to his eyes and to his perception. He saw Krishna Balaram, direct darshan, going to milk the cows. Krishna wear these yellow garments. Their eyes were not like any eyes he had seen before. They resembled autumnal lotuses. And what else is here? They had flower garlands. They were ornamented in many places. Fragrant substances were there. They were freshly bathed and dressed in spotless raiment. And they saw how they were, how all the directions were lit up by the effulgence emanating from their transcendental bodies. Akura could see this because he gave up all pride, fear, and lamentation. And I requested our Raghunath Prabhu to share with you six principles that he has seen working with his groups, whom he brings regularly to these holy places. I mean, I have seen these groups. They are so diverse. You know, they're old, they're young, there are absolute newcomers, old comers. It's really diverse. And to bring all these minds together, he has these principles which really are about giving up the old ego and developing a new perspective and so on. And I thought it was very practical. When you just say, I won't criticize, I won't complain, I will see the good in all situations and even difficult people who may have a desire to have more rupees than was agreed and whatever. I think this is what it means. When we hear, especially here in Vrindavan, we should respect the people who live here and always see them as worshipable. And you will see when you have this humble attitude, they react like a mirror. They perhaps those who are on Vrindavan Dandavat Parikrama, when you are taking a little time for prayer and for introspection and come to that place of melting down your ego, the ego meltdown, you will see how the whole environment begins to react in a ever so sweet way. Even monkeys and even the pigs will look at you with eyes of affection. That is everyone can see who does an attempt to come to that place of humility. Vrindavan can be seen and experienced if you move the ego out of the way. Akrura did this. He had no pride. He was a minister, but he rolled in that dust which was also impregnated with the cow urine. It was slippery at times. He rolled there. He gave up also fear. If I surrender to Krishna, what then? You must know there were spies of Kamsa all over. And if Kamsa would hear that his trusted minister would side with his arch enemy, I mean, there would be a cruel execution for Akrura and his family members. He gave up all lamentation. Oh, will it be possible for me to see Krishna, to be close to Krishna, yes or no? He gave up the ego. And this, what I, for practical experience, think about the list of Raghunath. I have it written down. I think it works really very well in applying the Trinadapi Shloka. Very well. It works. Now, my dear devotees, we come to the end. I would like to do what has become one of the directions of my service. I am trying to bring people to that inner space inside in which they see so much of the spiritual reality. Do you know that inside of you there's something which your eyes will never see? And do you know that this is more important than all your good clothes, your sunglasses, your recording devices, your bank account, and so on? It's the sacred space where you, the real you, resides, and the Supreme Lord. Sanatana Goswami says, it has been heard in the old days that anyone who meditates on the divine person Achyuta or remembers him will attain Achyuta's abode. It has been heard, there's a rumor, that anyone who deeply thinks about Krishna. So I would like to guide you in this. I would like to tell you that even Radha and Krishna appreciate the land of Vrindavan so much that they like to roam around. Radha knows every plant by name and by person, and has planted several, or has requested Vrinda Devi to do so. But the area which Radha and Krishna do one of the areas which they like, two areas they like very much. Govardhan, this is the area where you are. They walk around. Those of you who do Dandavat, who do Parikrama, you will touch their fresh lotus feet tomorrow. And they like the banks of the Yamuna. So, because Vrindavan is a wish-fulfilling land, whenever they desire something, the object of their desire manifests. For instance, when they have roamed around in the forest of Vrindavan for such a long time, they feel a little tired. Do you know what then happens? The land of Vrindavan provides a resting pavilion made from plants who stand very close to each other, and in this way it becomes a beautiful place, a creeper house with a platform. And they first sit down before the creeper house, and then they smile, they are surrounded by their loving servants. They are very shiny and very sweet. And at that time, devotees come forward, the small little Manjari girls, and they wipe the feet, which are all covered with dust. They massage the lotus feet. They may rearrange the hair, and in this way, they are very, very active in the service. So in this upcoming meditation, I would like to read something from a book I have been working since years. I will never publish it. It's a book for myself. See, the best books are the private books. It's time to calm down. It's time to arrive in Vrindavan. It's time also to shake away our tiredness. Please sit straight. Wonderful. Center yourself a little bit by just bringing your mind to the now. Please forget about any anxiety. How will I catch a taxi? Or I don't know what anxiety could be there. Maybe I should not have said this. I just be here. We are together with these Vaishnavas at the place which is described to be the most holy place, Sri Dhamradhakund. For some of you it is a revisit of previous visits. You are in the safe courtyard. Our host. Around you are devotees who are here to get a tune in for the month of Kartik. Do just a few deep breaths, no? Just very relaxed, nothing complicated. And out and stay with your breath. It's very important. Now, when you're ready, please a deep inhale. Hold the air. Wonderful, and a deep exhale. Again, a deep inhale. Hold the air. And a short and complete exhale now. And again, a deep inhale. Hold the air. And when I give a sign with my fingers, hold a little bit more. Then a short and complete exhale. Good. Please return to natural breathing now. On the banks of the Yamuna River, please follow these lines as a calf would follow its mother, full of anticipation for some nourishment. On the banks of the Yamuna, Radha and Madhava suddenly appear as they step out of the forest. Perhaps it will help you to remember the form of deities. Suddenly they appear. They step out of the lush, verdant forest. They are surrounded on all sides by their loving associates, the gopis. Some gopis sing. Some shower flowers on them. Some sprinkle water that is scented on the ground. The divine couple's anchor bells and waist bells tinkle sweetly as they graciously move forward. After roaming so long, they are blissfully tired. And they move to a flower house. Where they disappear from your vision and engage in their confidential, loving pastimes. The Yamuna continues to peacefully stream by. All the troubles of Kali Yuga are removed if a person takes shelter at Yamunaji.
Radha Govinda Radhe.
Radha Govinda Radhe.
since I have been coming to Radhakund, I always met a very dear devotee who was always very kind to me. His name is Mohan Panda, who has born here and grew up here, and has been always guiding me how to do everything properly, bathing according to the tradition. And I've requested him to come this evening to pronounce a blessing. These devotees, priests from Radhakund, have the ability, or the Shakti, to pronounce blessings. And since, Mohanji, this is for many the beginning of the month of Kartik, so blessings, sincere blessings, are required. So I request you. I think you should stand up that everyone can see. I give you.
Hare Krishna. I am Radhakund Vasi, Brijavasi, Mohan Panda. Maharaj is Vaishnav Thakur, long time with my Sambandha, Dharma Sambandha. And you are the most welcome nectar of devotions, Radhakund. Vaishnavas, Sakhyat Srimati Radharani is living here. And you are come with Kartik Mas. Vaishnava start tomorrow, Radhakund cultures starting Ekadasi, Damodar Mas. Nectar is nectar. You eat evening, afternoon, night, no problem. Radhakund, Sakhyat Swamiji, Raj, Rajarani, Brajarani, Srimati Radharani. You come with Maharaj, you live long, Sri Krishna Bhagavan help you, help your all families, and you come again and again. Radha Kund ki, Shyama Kund ki, Sri Giriraj Maharaj ki, you know, Satyuga Badrinath, Tetra Yuga Ranganath, Dwapara Jagannath, Kali Yuga Sri Govardhanath, Giriraj, 21 km area is Tarheti. Shyama Kund, Radha Kund, two eyes from Giriraj, Govardhanath, you now bank of Radha Kund, and with Vaishnava Thakur, Sachinandan Swami ki, and you come again and again, again to Brijavasis, Dhambasis. And I want Priyaji Daya you, Radhakun. You know, Mayapur best, Jagannath Puri best, Vrindavan best, Radhakun super best. Only one place. How you lucky, you don't know. You are now here. Bolo Jai Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada ki. And I pray Brijavasis, Dhambasis, give you blessings. Hey Radharani, Daya you, Daya Mai. You come again and again. Radhanani bring you, my dears, and go deep and deep and deep devotions. Radhakund tapostali, tapasya. From Radharani protect you. Kundeshwari, dayamai, daya you. You live long. Sri Krishna Bhagavan help you. Always, always, always. See, no need plan, no need visa. This is Radharani's. Radharani ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jagat Guru Sila Prabhupada ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Maharaj, my dear, long times, Gaudiya Vaishnava Thakur, Sachidandan Swami Prabhu, most welcome Radhakund, I am Brajavasis, Dhamvasis, my Maharaj Sambandh, all Jagat Guru Sila Prabhupada family Sambandh, but this is very, very near. Some said only very near, but Maharaj is very, very near. You are lucky, you interest from Gaudiya Vaishnav, Shuddha Sachidananda Swami Prabhu Maharaj, from children of Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, and you Radharani bless you. You always go deep and deep, lotus feet, Shyama Shyam, Priya Pritam. Radharani bless you, my dear, from my heart. Radhe Radhe.
Very good.
Maharaj,
very good. Very good. Thank you. Very, very. Perhaps you can feel a sweet energy coming into the heart. We are blessed. Yes. My dear devotees, this land is a land which you can access through bhava, through devotional feelings. This devotion in the heart, that is a bhakti, is a great blessing. And But that prayerful mood is certainly very good. And then the eyes open to what is here. In the meantime, let us ask our egos to step to the side and let us do our best. This is what I can say here in this circle. I have many more things to say, but time is there. I wish you the best Kartik months. I wish that you are really blessed by the dust of Braj, by the saints who walked here, by the by your devotional practices. We hear from Rupa Goswami that all these practices have this inconceivable strength to develop this loving Baba for Syam Sundar Radha, Syam Sundar. Have the wonderful thing. I'm now a little bit... I thought we should end with Damodar Puja, this short Damodar Puja. I do not know, Mohan, you have time? Or you have little time?
Yeah.
Good. I also wanted to ask, is Krishna Murari here? Is he here? Yes. To just say a few words to the devotees. And then we will end the program with Damodar Puja, where you can offer a light. As you heard, there are two times to where you start the Kartik Vrata. Some do Ekadasi to Ekadasi. In other words, they are in the midst of it. Ekadasi was 2 days back, perhaps, or just around the corner. And others do from Purnima to Purnima, but as our
Radha-kun, every time, you know very well.
Yes.
Radha-kun Ekadasi to Ekadasi.
Yes, yeah, Radha-kun Ekadasi. But he says, nectar is nectar. Morning or evening, yesterday or tomorrow, nectar is nectar. Good. Krishna Murari, would you like to be, I think it's good if you're visible. Mohan, would you be happy to sit there?
Yes,
then Krishna Murari can just hear, say here.
As we are in the on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, there's a beautiful prayer sung by the Brajabasis to Srimati Radharani. He Radhe Brashabhanu Bhupatanaye, He Purna Chandranane, हे कांते कमनीय कोकिल रवे वृंदावनाधीश्वरी हे मत प्राण परायने चरसिके हे सर्वयूथेश्वरी आगत्य त्वरितं प्रताप्तमनिशं मां दीनमानंदयम्. It's a prayer which expresses qualities of Srimati Radharani and ask for blessings. Oh Srimati Radharani, please bless us. Today morning we were along with Maharaj at a very wonderful place where Srimad Bhagavatam was originally spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And there Maharaj instructed all of us about one very serious question. He asked us, what do we do for eternity? What do we really do for eternity? The question might have many, many answers, but as from the perspective of Vrindavan, as from the side of Vrindavan, I would just say that we connect to eternity. We connect to eternity lovingly through the mood of Vrindavan, through the mood of tears, as we were hearing about the road of tears. There has been various instances where in Krishna's pastime, Krishna has played a role of sending the devotees so that they can really walk upon that road of tears. In Vrindavan, there are many examples. I would like to quote some of them from Krishna's direct pastimes. Sri Uddhava, although being a very close associate of Krishna, being a very knowledgeable person, but he really lacked that intent to walk upon that road of tears. And he fits into a very good example of a person who, along with his knowledge, pride, and so much and so on, walked towards Vrindavan. In contrast, we heard about Akrura coming with that mood of walking on this road of tears. But when Uddhava comes in, he is defeated, or he is more or less shattered by the association of Brajabasis. His knowledge goes that much down that what he really wants in Vrindavan to become a blade of grass. It happened to him because Krishna sent him to this land of Vrindavan, which is known as the school of love, Prema Pathshala, the school of love. Actually, we don't come to Vrindavan, we are sent to Vrindavan. And Krishna, somehow or the other, with his mercy, makes this arrangement for us to come to Vrindavan. And when Uddhava had this change of heart by associating with Vrindavan Vasis, at last when he was going back to Mathura after a 6 long months, he asked Mother Yashoda that I am now going back to Mathura. What do you wish to give something for your son Krishna? Mother Yashoda, she brought a pot of butter and a vamsi and a flute which Krishna has left in Vrindavan, in Nanda Bhavan. So as Mother Yashoda takes and gives these two little gifts to Uddhava, out of awe and respect, Uddhava takes those two items and he puts that on his head. Before the change of heart, he might have just taken it in some another way, but because of being in the association of Vrindavan, he took it out of great respect. And he asked, what do you want to say to your son? Mother Yashoda said, Jahan tahan mero lala rehve jeevon ko tabarish. I want to say a blessing to my son. Wherever he might live, may he live millions of years. And when Uddhava, after seeing the great love which the Brajabasis had, the great longing which the Brajabasis had, some of the Tikakars, some of the commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam and the Shastras, they describe this Vyoga, this longing, this separation which the Brajabasi had. We, the root word V stands for specific or great, Vishishta. And yoga means union. So for them, Vyoga separation is greatest union. Because when they really thought about Krishna, every single moment, whenever Uddhava tried to teach them yoga, they said that, Uddhava, we accept your process, but we need a heart. We need heart for doing yoga. And we don't have 10 or 20 hearts. We had only one, which is already taken away by your friend Krishna. So we cannot do it. So when he had that change of heart, after when he really walked from the village of Nandagram back to Mathura, he really walked upon the road of tear, seeing the greatest love of Brajabasis. And when he came to Mathura, the first thing he would have done was he would have directly gone to Krishna and informed him about all the things. But what he really did was he went to the cow sheds, and in the evening he started milking the cows. Before, he had no knowledge or no interest in this. And then when Krishna hears this, that Uddhava has returned back and he has not come directly to me, Krishna goes running and Krishna sees Uddhava, and Krishna literally feels so happy, and tears roll down from Krishna's cheeks because someone has really started loving him. When Uddhava and Krishna, they meet each other, Uddhava tries to chastise Krishna. And he chastises Krishna in this way, that, O Krishna, how stone-hearted you are, that you have left your beloved Brajabasis who love you like anything, even you are their life force. Then Krishna lovingly explains to Uddhava. There's a song which specifically tells about a universal law of Krishna. Krishna tells Uddhava, O Uddhava, Jo jan udho mohina besarat. O Uddhava, those devotees who always remember me, and those who don't forget me, I don't forget them too. I remember them too. Meto janama janama ke sankat. I remove all the miseries of their life, after life, which they have suffered. And I give them utmost happiness. Those who remember me, I have to remember them. This is my universal law. I always support them, those who look for me sincerely. He is expressing, in the same way a bird protects her eggs from all the difficulties, I protect those who really look for me in the same way. Suradas tahe dar ka ko nishbasar jo dapat hari. Suradas, who is explaining this song, he expresses that those who remember Krishna, those who really walk on that road of sincere longing for Krishna, that road of sincere remembering for Krishna, what fear, they will be fearless. Whatever is secret to them will be opened up, because Krishna has made this universal law that he opens up to all those who come sincerely to seek for him. one another devotee, Sri Chaturbhuj Das, who lived in near Govardhan, who was such a great lover of Giriraj, that once when his spiritual master just asked him to just go little away from Giriraj, he started crying into tears. He sang, Dekhan kune na tape aur bachan sunan kun kaan ho. Oh my beloved Giridhari, I cannot live without you. Govardhan vasi saavare. O the resident of Sri Govardhan, O the Blackishman, tum bin rayo na jaye ho. I cannot live without you. My eyes long to see you. My heart longs to hug you. Lal jug jug avichal rakhiyo aur yeh sukh shail nivas ho. Sri Chaturbhuj Das is praying for all of us that, oh my dear Lord, please always keep this beautiful land of Giriraj always here. Avichal means don't move it anywhere, because in the same way I have taken shelter next to you, there will be devotees coming to take shelter next to you. This beautiful month of Kartik, devotees, the greatest month of obtaining so much Sukriti, so much blessings, like, you know, we cannot express it. But there's a small story. All the blessings can come to us only if we leave some things which are obstructing our path. Once there were four friends. These four friends, they lived together, they ate together, and even they drank together. And it was a dark night, and they wanted to cross the river. They had a boat. They wanted to cross the river from one bank to the another. They all went into it. They had these moving wooden sticks. Throughout the whole night, because they were drunk, they just moved the rowing pads. They were just moving. The whole night went by. In the morning, when the substance which they have taken got down, and they found that they were at the same place. The boat didn't move. Why the boat didn't move? The boat was still tied on the bank of Aham Mameti. The same thing happens with me, with all of us, until or unless we don't leave that old sense of Aham Mameti, or those things which Raghunath Prabhu expressed, those bad things which really, really tie us down and not let us move forward. This is the month of going deep down through the rope of Shastras, through the rope of Sadhana. And it is expressed, four or five things are specifically expressed to which we should be doing in this month, and I will end with that. Deep Dhyanam, offering lights. Tulasi Sevanam, worshipping Tulasi Devi. Shastra Dhyanam, remembering Shastras, hearing or reciting. Hari Sevanam, serving Sri Hari, serving Sri Vaishnavas means the same. And then we will definitely have a glimpse or a start by leaving all those things which bind us. Then we move forward. We receive so many blessings, by being here in Braj. Our Brajabasis are so fortunate to be there to bless, and let's really, really take best advantage of it, all of us, so that we can really find our own way to move towards the road of tears.
Thank you. Radhe Shyam. Thank you. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, we will end this program now. Like this. Is Bhagavati, is there? Good, I thought so. There is a little altar which we have constructed here. There will be someone, I think Bhagavati will organize, that they will be handed deeps, and as Gaura Krishna sings and Smita Krishna and the Kirtan devotees will help him, we will sing the Damodarastakam. Here at this beautiful in this beautiful sacred land, you have heard many recommendations. The point is, perhaps, don't trust your eyes and your mind while you're in Vrindavan. Equip it with spiritual practices so that you will be able to see and allow your heart to be touched by the miracle that waits for all of you here in Vrindavan. As I do not know what is your plan, but we also, Bhagavati, have prepared a nice sweet for everyone. I see Bhagavati is... Bhagavati, I think we should post someone with a sweet there so that devotees who will have to leave abruptly and quickly get at least some prasadam, but it would be so nice if you stay. We will now be very brief and focused, and you just come forward. Is it Bhagavati that come forward where you are standing? And would you like to explain how you do things? They get a light there. Yeah. Yes. And also, I request Mohan Prabhu, Mohan Panda Prabhu, to maybe stand where Bhagavati is and then give your Radha Kuntilak to the devotees as they take the light. No? Yeah. And, thank you so much for. You're
full. I meet after.
Yeah.
You
have to go.
Yeah,
then
I want to thank you so much. We're really honored that you invited us. Not for a while, but to be here. We love you, and we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yes, yes. Then at least, Raghunath, Mohan Panda will be giving you some blessings. Some he has prepared something, and your group can just, as they exit, take this. Some tilak will be given, and so on. Yes? Maybe, who is there? Who knows?
Kannst du ihnen helfen, dass die das Beste alles geht? Oder musst du filmen?
Ich muss das nehmen.
Ja.
Das war die Lecture.
Ja.
Talk.
Ja.
Ich studiere später diesen Patrick-Forschung,
das ist ein Schauspieler. Ja. War okay,
sehr,
oder?
Sehr, ja. Sehr.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick. Of course. Really. Tremendous experience.
Patrick is a stage man. So, Gokrishna, please, you have the text with you? Or should I see? But how will I see? Yes. Thank you so much, Krishna Murari. And I notice you are always trying to echo some points to drive them to make devotees more aware. Am I correctly seeing? Namah Ishvaram Sat Sadan Darupam Lasat Kundalango Kule Brajamanam Amam Vishvaram Sachinananda Yashoda meo lokalata vamanam Maram vishyam apyan tato drudya gopya
Yashoda meo lokalata vamanam Maram vishyam apyan tato drudya gopya
Moho netra yokman me jantam Adam moja yokmena satam ka netram
Moho netra yokman me jantam Adam moja yokmena satam ka netram
Svasakam pati rekanka kanta Sthita grevam damo daram bhakti badam Svasakam pati rekanka kanta Sthita grevam damo Iti driksvali labhir ananda kunde Svargosham ni majyantam akhyapayantam
Iti driksvali labhir ananda kunde
Tareshita gesho bhakte jitadvam Una prema tastam satavriti vande
Tareshita gesho bhakte jitadvam
Vadeva Achanyam Rineham Vreshadapiha Gopala Bala Sadame Vanasya Virastam Kedantyaye
Vidante Vapurnata Gopala Bala
Sadame Vanasya Virastam Kedantyaye Te mukham bhojam adhyanta nila Ritam kunda laisnikta raktaisya gopya
Ritam te mukham bhojam
adhyanta nila Ritam kunda laisnikta jagoya moho shomitam mimma lakta darangme manasya virastam alam lakshalabhaye Namo Deva Damodara Lata Vishnu Prasira Praporuka Jalapti Bhagnam. Everybody, Namo Deva Damodara Lata Vishnu Prasira Praporuka Jalapti Bhagnam. Oh, Kripa Drishti Vishyati Tirambatano Grihane Shaman Rakya Vidyakshi Drishaya Kripa Drishti Vishyati Jyobhata Nardheva Yadavaj Maya Pochito Bhakti Pajyo Kito Cha Kuvera Jyobhata Nardheva Yadavaj Maya Pochito Bhakti Pajyo Kito Cha. Tata prema bhaktin svakame payatsya Mokshe grahome siddhamodareha Studamne sporadirtidamne Padiyo rarayata Vishvasatamne Namaste Shri Radha Rani ki jai. Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramaraja Kacharya Ashtuta Satasi Simadisti Vaingre Sila Abe Charanaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedant Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Is Confounded Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sarigaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Maya Munamai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shrimati Radha Rani Ki Jai Shri Ram Radha Kund Ki Jai Shri Giridash Govardhan Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Oh, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much for kindly coming and participating in this program, which I felt had a lot of that Braj flow, where you know you flow over time, or you flow to a different place, or something else than planned happens or develops. So thank you all very much, and once again wish you a really blessed month of Kartik. And please, when remember, reflect about what you have heard, what has made sense to you, and try to apply that so that you will be able to, yeah. I guess it's all about, you know, when nectar comes dropping down, you just need to make sure you stand at the right place, you know, not somewhere where it is not. Once a disciple, and I will end here, came to his Guru Maharaj and said, what can I do to make Krishna, Radha and Krishna appear? And the Guru answered, just as much as you can do to make the sun rise in the morning. Nothing. Oh, Guru Maharaj, but why are you then telling, you must do this, you must do that, this is good to do? And the Guru said with a smile, all these things are there just to make sure that you are not asleep when the sun rises. In other words, that you can receive when Radha and Krishna give you mercy, give their mercy to you. I think that's very profound. So be in the receiver mood, in the receiver mood, not in the achiever mood. We cannot achieve much here. It's beyond our mind, our intelligence, our strength, but we can receive much, much more than any achiever can hope to achieve in this world. That is the extraordinary mercy of Radha Krishna, which makes the soul come alive, which fills the soul with love, and with brings the soul to Krishna. Yes, this bhakti makes Krishna appear. Bhakti makes Krishna, attracts Krishna. Bhakti is stronger even than Krishna, says the Matara Stuti. Hare Krishna, everyone. I have a wonderful Kartik Rata, and you have, it doesn't feel like leaving this place, no? Hare Krishna. When you do leave, Mohan has a blessing in Tilak, yes? He's just there where the altar is. This is very good where you stand. So collect your Tilak and your blessing. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo.